We want to begin with Bible prophecy lesson number 9, and you can see on the screen, those of you that are here, you can see the many nations that the Bible speaks of. And of course, in lesson 8, we began to put a timeline to some of the things we're learning. We're going to lay a fundamental foundation today. I'm going to give you some things that I think will interest you. But, you know, we started out, we found out that Noah, along with his three sons and their families, settled on the northern side of the mountains of Ararat. And the sons of Noah, and of course, their respective migration of each family, that is what lays the foundation for our biblical and prophetic setting of the world. We see where the Bible speaks of 70 nations, and in prior lessons we covered that number 70. Jesus sent forth the 70. But 70 nations come forth from then Noah's three sons get off the ark and his grandsons. Today, currently, we recognize in the world about 196 countries or nations, of which 193 of them belong to the United Nations organization. And of course, the United Nations is worldwide. Out of the 196 countries, only three, Vatican City, Taiwan, and Kosovo, are not members. The United Nations was established on October the 24th of 1945 at headquarters out of Manhattan, New York, and it was initially founded by only 51 nations. So our Bible is going to deal with 70 foundational nations, and it's going to give us their names. And so as where we are today, 3,500 years later, after some of these prophecies, we have about 126 unnamed countries or nations on earth that are not specifically named in the scripture. So real quickly, in our review, Shirley, would you bring me a cup of coffee black, please? We want to look at the nations in prophecy. And what I want to do is I'm going to read the current country's name and then give you its biblical name. And we, of course, see Israel. Its notation is Canaan in the Bible. And of course, we have mentioned so many times in Zechariah 12 and 2, he says he's going to make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people. And we see it on the nightly news and the miracle of it becoming, of course, a nation again after 2,000 years of being dispersed across the face of the earth. And then, of course, we see the Decapolis, and this handles the hills to the east of those of you who've been to Israel, to whenever we were up around the eastern side of, thank you very much, the Sea of Galilee. But it handles northwestern Jordan, portions of western Syria, and a small portion that I just described to you of eastern Israel, and it's called the Decapolis. We have Gaza, or Philistia. Gaza is the same place today as it was in the Bible days, the Gaza Strip. Of course, then we have the sons and the grandsons of Japheth, and out of them came Russia, which is called Magog, Rosh, Gog. Ukraine is called Gomer, Germany, Gomer. Southern Russia, Scythia, Syria, Iran, Damascus, Syria. Turkey, which is called Meshach and Tubal. Armenia, Kurdistan, Turkestan, and parts of Turkey are called Togarma. And then possibly Western nations of the United Kingdom, which are called Tarshish and Island of the Sea. And those Western nations of the United Kingdom could include the United States, the United Nations of Europe, and now, as we learned in our last two lessons ago, the Union for the Mediterranean, which now makes up the eastern leg of the Roman Empire, that the capital at one time was Constantinople. And then we have the sons and the grandsons of Ham that made up Ethiopia, which is called Cush in the Bible, Sudan, Somalia, possibly parts of Africa, which also is known, referred to as Cush. Then we have Libya, Algeria, Tunisia, which is called Fut or Put. And then we have Saudi Arabia, which is referred to as Arabia, Dedan, and Sheba. And then Egypt, which is Mizraim. We have some other nations, and I'm going to throw some things at you here that are a little early. But it's going to, if we can make it this far, I'm going to give you a proposed theory of a timeline that I see. And going to throw some scripture out at you that'll help you relate to that. Other nations that are mentioned in the scripture are Iran. It's the ancient name in the Bible is Persia, Iraq, and Assyria, and parts of Iraq, and they are also called, referred to as Persia. We have western Saudi Arabia and southern Jordan, which is called Midian. This is where Moses, of course, fled to. It's where I believe the real Mount Sinai is. We have Bahrain and Qatar and some of Iraq and Jordan called Arabia. Then we have in today, Lebanon, which is called in our Bible Phoenicia. We have Jordan, which was referred to as Ammon and Moab and Edom. And then we see a seventh kingdom that will be restored, that we have seen restored. And of course, Whenever we looked at Daniel and the great image that ends up with the 10 toes, it will relate to the 10 horns in the book of Revelations. What we see is we see that would be the sixth empire that would reign and rule the earth. And of course, that was the Roman Empire. But now what we have seen since Israel became a nation in 48, and then since the EU, the United Nations of Europe, went to the Euro and they dropped the borders and their economic system, which now has restored the old Roman Empire and has since, I think, around 2002, 2003. Don't quote me on that year, which year they came together. But that was just the western portion of the Roman Empire. And now we see where President Sarkozy, the French president, his platform for running in 2008 was the fact that he was going to formulate another union to align with the EU, which you can look up. It is the Union for the Mediterranean, which now comprises of the same nations that made up the eastern leg of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire becoming so large that it needed two capitals. One was in Rome, and then Constantine, who started another one in Constantinople, and we went through the Muslim overtake of that. Today it is called Istanbul, Turkey. And then we have Cyprus, which was called Kittim or Chittim in the Bible. And then we have a nation that's not named, and we are assuming it's China because it will amass a 200 million man army. And then there is this nation that we are trying to identify called Babylon the Great that will be destroyed in 1 hour in the book of Revelations. But also it's mentioned other places once you understand and know what to look for. So I want you to notice that God accurately has named all these even very small, minute nations that are going to be on the earth at the time of the return of Christ. For him to do that and then not name the last great nations on earth, I mean the greatest nations that have ever been, how could God overlook these nations in his prophecies? Well, actually, he does not. God identifies the last great nation as Babylon or Babylon the Great in the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Revelations. Now, I'm going to give you some scripture. I'm going to just throw some thoughts at you, and then you'll begin as we work on the timeline. We're going to get this timeline down to actual 24-hour periods. Of course, we know that it will correlate to the thing that was handed down from Adam and we shared with you last week. We have not posted that lesson yet. It's recorded all the way down to Polycarp, who was a student of John the Revelator. But I want to take you back, those of you that understand the day of the Lord, which is that 1,000-year period, which is the seventh day. Anytime you see in that day or at that time in the Old Testament, it is a wormhole. It is a portal. So it's used over 300 times in one of five ways to say in that day, at that time. and as soon as you see that, it transports you to a future event. And then the prophet will speak, and he has come back to an event that will happen way prior to that. But that in that day, at that time, it is also, those of you that have been with us as I teach on the day of the Lord, it also is referred to many times in the New Testament as well as the Old. So what I want to show you in identifying whoever modern-day Babylon is will be destroyed in 1 hour, I want to share with you when, the timing, and some identifying features of whom she is. In Isaiah chapter 13, we're going to see the burden of Babylon. Now, we all know from prior lessons that Babylon was destroyed by the Medes and the Persians, and we can draw a line around the old Medo-Persian Empire. Basically, we come up with southern Russia and the Muslim nations today, the same nations that will make an alliance, will come against Israel, that will destroy whoever modern-day Babylon is. That which has been shall be. And so when we get to Isaiah and he begins to prophesy, we're going to look at some prophecies, and these prophecies are not towards Babylon of his day. These are prophecies that are not just for that, but for the nation that someday will come along, whom God will only refer to as Babylon the Great. In Isaiah chapter 13, it's a rather lengthy reading, verse 1 through 13. Now, I just want you to be thinking about some of the last end time nations, the great nations, and see if maybe you could identify who he'd be speaking about. He says, "This is the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see. Lift up a banner on the high mountain." Now, if you understand our Judaistic roots, our Hebrew roots, then you understand that the banner is the Mashiach. It is another name, just as we call him the arm of the Lord, or as we call him the Lapid, the torch, the Shekinah. So when the banner is lifted up, this is the body of the Mashiach. This is what you and I would look to as the resurrection. Resurrection of the dead is an Old Testament, teaching Therefore, we know that in the New Testament that it would be correct because our schoolmaster speaks of it. So lift up the banner on the high mountain, exalt the voice to them, shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. Now, the nobles are the righteous, the Zadokim. And we understand from recognizing the seven feasts that we are having now lived historically the first four feasts that were at one time prophetic but have been fulfilled, and I won't go back through those. But we are now waiting on the feast in Leviticus 23 that are prophetic, that we are waiting to be fulfilled. And the first one, which we call the Feast of Trumpets, is actually another name for it. It has multiple names. It is a many-faceted stone. It is also called the Day of the Awakening Blast, the Day of the Resurrection. So these are Old Testament thoughts, venues, which in the New Testament are once again comment on. But it also is called the Day of the Opening of the Gates. And this is why in Revelation chapter 4 that John the Revelator had to wait to enter in spiritually and to caught up into heaven until he hears the trumpet, the shofar, the Feast of Trumpets, so to speak. Then the gates of the noble are open. So it's not like we might have thought. We've got to understand that then the feast on the Day of Atonement, which actually is a fast day, is called the closing of the gates. So we see now where prophesying in Isaiah, we have the body of Messiah, whom are the believers in Yeshua, that they are caught up. They are caught up, and they come in through the gates into the hands of the noble. And then verse number 3, if you have a King James, is a very poor rendition. He says, "And I have also called, I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for my anger." Actually, that "for my anger" is, if you'll look it up, "to my nose." And the "to my nose," if you're familiar with the feast, this is a portion of one of the feasts where we are to smell the sweet aroma of the lulav, of the different things that we do in certain Feasts of Tabernacles. And so this is God saying, "I have brought them to me, the sweet odor, the sweet aroma, even them that rejoice in my highness." So he has brought these nobles in at the opening of the gate, at the lifting up of the banner. And immediately, and this is what I'm wanting to get to, because this tie you will not understand when you get to the book of Revelations unless first you understand the schoolmaster. And so what we see is, we see that in the Old Testament, that he immediately upon the catching away of these people, them entering into the gates, suddenly there is a noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations that are gathered together. Now, listen closely. "The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle." So God calls this group of nations together. And why would he do that? "They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land." Now, I am leading your thinking, and what I am wanting you to ponder is we are looking at modern day Babylon. We are looking at the timing of the destruction of Babylon, and that is the fact that whoever this country is, that whenever the nobles leave this country, then immediately there is a conspiracy by the treacherous dealer who will deal treacherously, and a union of other nations that God has put in their mind to do a sneak attack and destroy Babylon. But this is modern Babylon we're talking about. "They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, and even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation." God has always used enemy nations to punish his people that have turned from him. Verse 6, "Howl, for the day of the Lord is at hand." In other words, the Shabbat, the seventh day, begins with the birth pains of the earth, the seven-year tribulation. "Howl, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them." This is what Yeshua refers to as birth pangs of Messiah. So what you are beginning to recognize is that, as I have said once before, in my opinion, anyone that has a timeline that does not correlate to the feast and does not correlate to the 6,000-year plan of God and does not tie to the Old Testament understanding of the timing and how these events will occur, this is our fundamental foundation. So when we get to the book of Revelations, what we are actually seeing is we are seeing them as Revelations is quite a book because it is not written in order from, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. John is caught up in a theater. In my opinion, all these are my opinion, it's like he walks into a great building that has 24 screens. And suddenly he turns and he writes, and then he turns and he writes, and then he turns and he writes. And depending on which screen you're going to be involved in, which movie, will depend upon which theater you are left in, because some are theaters above, some are theaters below. So howl for the day of the Lord. Therefore shall all hands be faint. They shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travails, and they will be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes. It will be cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it. Now, none of this is apropos today in our culture, because we have no idea that God does have wrath and that there is a judgment day that is coming. Even Yeshua Jesus states in his coming, in his first coming, in the red letter words, he says, "I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword." And let me express to you what that means. That means you will obey or you will die. So those that say Jesus is, you know, just love, 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 you're correct, he is. And he's going to set up a loving kingdom in the earth, and anyone that doesn't want it, he is taking this world back over. There is judgment day coming. So when you run out of love for God, operate in the fear of the Lord, it'll keep you living right. For the stars of heaven and the constellations, therefore, now I want you to catch this. So anyone that would try to correlate these portions of Scripture to the fall of historic Babylon, there is... we didn't even have the technology to do these things. For the stars of heaven and the constellations therefore shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, this is God speaking, and their wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even than the gold wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall be removed out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Now, I'm not a hate monger or a warmonger. I just teach the whole word. And when we don't, then we miss out on this portion of God that his grace right now is being offered. But as soon as that's over. So let's jump to verse 19, where he closes out this prophecy. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. So what we are seeing is we look for this end time country of modern Babylon, that she has not fallen yet, because when she does, she will never be inhabited again. She sits on many waters. She's called a proud lady. Her people are arrogant, and they look as if they are cattle feeding at the trough. It is a nation that has become quite obese. I'll get into that later. In Jeremiah chapter 50, we are going to talk about this end time nation also. And I'm just giving you these scriptures so you can chew on them before we get to our timeline. In Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 8 through 9. So we know we have 144,000. And the reason I'm giving you these scriptures is so whenever I give you this timeline, and then we will break down each piece of it scripturally, that you will have a beginning, you'll begin to recognize where these thoughts come from. Remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans. Be as the he-goats before the flocks. The 144,000 that are Jews, they are people that recognize Torah. They are people that recognize their heritage. They will be sent back to the Middle East to preach the gospel of Yeshua, of Jesus Christ. And they are going to be like the he-goats before the flocks. So this happens right before the destruction of Babylon. God seals them in their fold. In other words, they cannot be destroyed, so they have to get out of Babylon before it's destroyed in 1 hour. And this is exactly what would be interesting is if you live in a country where there's any Jews, you should check and see how many Jews are leaving it. Might get your attention. For lo, I will raise and cause to come against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrow shall be as a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. So he sees these things as arrows, and they are coming from the north to destroy Babylon. In Isaiah 21, a grievous vision is declared to me. The treacherous dealer has dealt treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media. All the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold of me. Now, I'm wanting you to notice that all these things that I've been teaching you and these things that we've been laying a foundation for, I'm now giving you portions of Old Testament teaching where they're all coming together. We are seeing the resurrection of the dead, the rapture of the church, the gates of the nobles, the gates are being opened, birth pangs of Messiah. All these things are tied together, and you will now be able to recognize them. And all these things that I've just mentioned, regardless of how your timeline and prophecy fits, you recognize the birth pains or tribulation, and you recognize the rapture, you recognize there has to be a last trump. So these are not foreign to even American Christians, but we're now formulating and tying them together in order, as my theory says they will happen. And now watch this. So, and therefore my loins filled with pangs, and pain has taken hold of me, of the pangs of a woman that travail. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. And behold, he says, here comes a chariot of men and a couple of horsemen. He says, Babylon is fallen. And all the graven images of the gods have he broken unto the ground. So this is exactly what we see happen, in my opinion, of the 144,000 that flee Babylon to get back to Israel. And they are sealed. God seals them. I believe that's a sealing of protection and also of his spirit that they receive. They receive Messiah. And they actually understand and they see the destruction of modern day Babylon. Jeremiah 50 verses 12 through 29. We'll read 12 through 16. Whoever Babylon is, her mother, she will have a nation that she came out of in the earth. And her mother will still be here and will be confounded because she will see the destruction of this country that came out of her. Her mother will be confounded, she that buries. So there is no way these scriptures will fit historic Babylon. So what I'm trying to point out to you is this. When we get to the book of Revelations, it is the most Jewish book in the New Testament. If you could get Jews to read the New Testament, they can relate to Revelations, because the only way you can truly interpret Revelations is to understand all the other books. When you try to take Revelations and turn it into watching the nightly news or weaponry, or you can make it say a lot of things. But when you take it and you tear it apart and you place it on the Old Testament scriptures, then it has an order that it will fall in that will align with this story that God has prophesied in the Old Testament. So your mother will be so confounded. Behold, the hindermost of nations. Now, this word hindermost is interesting because whoever modern-day Babylon is the last of the great nations formulated in the earth. So whatever the last great nation was is another identifying mark of whoever modern-day Babylon is. But don't worry, because he says he's going to make her a wilderness, a dry land and a desert. Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate, and everyone that goes by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at her plagues. So then God turns his eye back to the nations that he has purposely armed them with the capability to destroy whoever Babylon the Great is. And he says, put yourself in array against Babylon, all you that bend the bow, shoot at her. Spare no arrows, because she has sinned against the Lord. So whatever country, this great country that was formulated in the last of nations is, she had a godly heritage. And the reason that God is so vengeful against her is because she was a golden cup in his hand. She was used to reach the world at one time and then turned from her heritage. Spare no arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. Shout against her. So this certainly won't fit Babylon, historic. So either we have a great discrepancy in the Bible, or we, once again, as our theory points out, have separate Babylons. We have historic Babylon, we have mystery Babylon, and then we have Babylon the Great, the end time nation prophet. Shout against her. And I'm sorry I'm speaking so fast. I'm wanting to get done, and you can go back and listen to this on the net. Shout against her round about. She has given her hand. Her foundations are fallen. Her walls are thrown down. Whoever nation it is, her foundations fell first. Her walls are thrown down. It is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance upon her as she had done doing to her. So if she is destroyed by nuclear weapons, then the only country, whatever country has used nuclear weapons, what a man soweth he shall reap. So I don't know all the countries that have used nukes, but there is a country that has used nukes, and as she has done, doing to her double. Cut off the sower from Babylon and him that handles the sickle in the time of harvest. This will happen in the time of harvest. This will align perfectly with the feasts of harvest. Jesus came at the time of planting. It came during the spring feast. We are waiting for the prophetic feast that come in the time of harvest. So when you get your timeline correct, it will align with God's calendar and God's clock. For fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn everyone to his people, and they shall flee everyone to his own land. A sound of battle is in the land and of great destruction. How is the forger of the whole earth, that has shaped the world, whoever this modern day Babylon is, how is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How has Babylon become a desolation among the nations? And God says, I've laid a snare for you. Now, I know I'm not supposed to be doing this. I'm way ahead of my timeline. But whomever is the head of Babylon the Great when this destruction comes refuses to fight. They do not fire back. The Bible tells us that. The arrows come over the northern border, over the polar caps, and then whoever the leader is, they do not fire back. And the treacherous dealer, I'm throwing some stuff out here that is a theory. The treacherous dealer, the way that I'm going to bring it about in the timeline, of course, is an alliance made between Russia and the Muslims. It will be just as the taking of Babylon historically, there is going to be, in whatever country this is, first an attack from the inside. I believe the treacherous dealer is Russia. I believe their first launch will be probably a phone call that says, hey, we didn't do it. I think you're going to, between now and then. It's interesting because I shared this vision with you about 4 or 5 years ago, about 8 months to a year ago, Russia began reporting that they are having problems with Muslim terrorists. And I believe what will happen is that Russia will call and say, hey, we did launch a nuke, but it wasn't us. It was a terrorist. We were infiltrated and didn't know it. And there will be the excuse for us not to launch. Just a theory, not saying that's what the Bible teaches. So the Lord has opened his armory and has brought forth the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord, God of hosts, in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the uttermost borders, open her storehouses, cast her as heaps, slay all of her bullocks. The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon, 144,000 and probably others. Why do they escape out of Babylon? Because God's put a hook in their jaw. He brings them back to Zion, back to Israel. And the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. And then it continually says, call together the archers against Babylon, bend the bow, camp against it round about, let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all she has done, do unto her, because she has been proud against the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. So, the book of Daniel is the hub that ties most of these end-time teaching events together. Daniel's going to give us the knowledge, as we've seen, that include the Babylonian kingdom of his day, and there would be seven total kingdoms till the Antichrist sets up his eighth kingdom. So I'm going to put this out to all of these that are listening and joining us in our broadcast, and we want to welcome over 3,000 students. I want to welcome people worldwide that have been plugging into this. But I want us to understand that in a possibility, in a theory, we, most Bible scholars will agree that the EU is the formation of the old Roman Empire restored. Now, since 2008, and I've waited this long to begin to share it with people as I've watched it, we now see the UFM that has been formulated, which would be the eastern leg of the Roman Empire. And then last week, last lesson, you want to back up and hear that, because it certainly opens up a whole different venue as to the platform of the Antichrist, how it will work, the monetary system, the image, the mark of the beast, the nationality of the Antichrist. So we are living in a time that is so exciting. Most nominal Christians are still waiting for the Antichrist to be revealed, the temple to be built, all these things. If you see that, you probably miss the rapture. So with this timeline that I'm formulating, you're going to see where it may be sooner than people realize. And I'm not one to set dates, nor have I ever spoken as emphatically as I am now. I've waited to do this until I felt like the time was right. So Daniel's going to predict an end-time confederation of 10 nations. It's quite interesting that the EU has now 5 leaders and the UFM has 5 leaders. So we have the old Roman Empire, the western side that has 5 leaders over it. We now have the eastern leg with 5 leaders over it. We know that this Roman Empire restored is called the seventh kingdom, of whom the eighth kingdom shall come forth, which is the reign of the Antichrist, because the 10 rulers will give their allegiance for 1 hour to the Antichrist. And therefore, he will reign and rule over the old Roman Empire. And many of us don't realize when I say that, that included in the old Roman Empire was Israel. They were under Roman occupation in the days of Jesus. So this is going to perfectly align all these nations that I mentioned before. And we see where also the heritage, the nationality, and the religion of the Antichrist that comes forth. Israel was very excited whenever it joined the UFM. And so now we see how we can have a coalition, an alliance with Israel and Europe. Daniel predicts these end time nations. So Daniel's closing prophecies tell of the return of Christ. They also tell us of the judgment, the setting up of the kingdom of God. And this prophecy of Daniel is continued in Revelation. So here's what we've identified in prior lessons in our end time drama. In Revelation chapter 17, we've identified the great whore. This great whore, of course, not the chaste bride of Christ, called the great whore because she is like the Antichrist. They're against the truth of the Word of God, or Mystery Babylon. We've identified the beast with seven heads being the seven countries. The beast are countries. We've identified the ten horns as the rulers that will emerge. And I am not saying emphatically that these five from the EU and five from the UFM will be them. There may be some changes, but nevertheless. We also see that the beast that was is not and yet is, that the head wound was not a person. The Bible emphatically and clearly explains in our prior lessons that it was a nation, a ruling governing body that was wounded as if to death and came back to life, which is the Roman Empire. And so we see that the beast that was is not and yet is. We have also identified the seat or the city where the woman sits. I believe it's highly likely and possible that the Roman Church will bring about a unity with the Muslims, and that you're going to see that marriage made together, and then you're going to see many lesser faith-believing Christians that will join that alliance. And the reason that, and in other words, they'll fall into deception, and you'll have the universal church of the great whore. And eventually, out of that will be the false Elijah that will point the finger and say, here's our Mashiach, here's our Messiah. We've also now identified the seventh kingdom. So if this sixth kingdom was the Roman Empire, then the seventh kingdom is the Roman Empire restored. We have that today in the earth, and therefore we now have a stage set that the Antichrist can emerge in our hour, in our day. Also, what we have seen is we have identified the seven actors of the great whore, the beast with seven heads and ten horns, which is simply that confederation of the ruling nations throughout the time. The beast that was, the seat or the city of the great whore, the seventh ruling kingdom, the eighth ruling kingdom of the Antichrist, and then the whore of Babylon, which would be an evil religious system of Christianity used to replace for the true followers of Christ. And then we see the purpose of the alliance between the woman and the beast is they're going to work together to accomplish world domination. In other words, one world government, so to speak, and religion. And when this is achieved, the political power of the Antichrist won't any longer need the world religious system, which is the whore, to support his agenda, because this is when we have the desecration of the temple that will be rebuilt, and we have the abomination of desolation where he makes himself God. So, to understand end time prophecy, we also need to identify and have the little horn. This is the one that pops up amongst the ten horns and give their power to him. He's the Antichrist, the false prophet. We found out where he comes from in the prior lesson. We found out the person of the Antichrist, where he's from, the mark of the beast being a system whereby you can buy and sell in prior lessons. And this is going to start our timeline, and our timeline is going to start with that which is recorded from Adam all the way to Polycarp. And we covered this in the last lesson, and that is the fact that from Adam all the way down, and I read to you each of the historic founding fathers' statements, even up to, I can't remember the man's name, in 1788 that was over the Baptist church out east, all of them said the Lord won't return till after 6,000 years of man. This has been handed down to Adam. Every day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So this is not new revelation. This is original teaching. The church was never looking for Christ to come, the early church. The leaders knew. They knew the teaching that was handed down from Adam. This is recorded history. You can pull this up online. And if you'll listen to last week's lesson, I give you the references for this. So now I want to give you a proposed end time timeline and when it will start. Anytime now. The stage is set for the first time. I've been doing this for 32 years. And I don't have to back up on anything I've ever taught. And I'm not trying to brag on me. I'm just trying to express I'm not setting a date now, nor have I ever. But the enemy has done such a good job with many people who were overzealous And therefore, you don't hear much about prophecy like you used to. You sure don't hear about a rapture. Everyone's afraid of it. It's not politically correct. So we don't even have people comforting one another with these words. Look up your redemption. They're everyone's kingdom now. You know, it's all about whatever they think they got going on that's important. What I'm wanting us to recognize is this. Those that are busy about life and think the rapture is way out there, maybe your oil's low. Maybe you've been hoodwinked in some religious hoopla that's got you busy but barren. And it's time to get your family and your house in order. It's time to get real. It's time to figure out what's really important. Because if this timeline's even close, and the resurrection of the dead and the rapture of the church happens before these things are formulated and come together, do you realize that right now, with the technology we have, and this is not a scare tactic, but right now the purpose, I won't go into it, I did in prior lessons, the reason that EU wanted the other nations to join them is the currency. So we went to a one world currency already in Europe. When you're there, Steve, we use the euro. And on it's a woman riding the beast. But petrodollars have escaped that. So now they have incorporated the other nations around Israel. One of the things that we prophesied years ago is they'd find oil in Israel. Well, the Leviathan fields are some of the richest fields that have ever been found. Israel now, which most people don't know, Russia has a reason to invade, because now there's more wealth off the coast of Israel than ever before. And it's interesting, it's called Leviathan, and it's found in the sea. And God says, I will put a hook in the jaw of Gog and Magog and bring them down for Leviathan. So without getting into all this, and I will try to slow down, and we'll do this when we get into the timeline. But so when is this timeline going to begin that I'm proposing? Well, number one, and this is my opinion based on what I see in Scripture. I do not study events or watch news and make predictions. I'm just telling you what I see in the Scripture. I believe that we are entering into the time of the plagues, the civil uprisings and acts of terrorism and natural disasters. And the purpose for them is my basis on my picture of God bringing the people out of Egyptian bondage. And the purpose of God allowing these things to happen is because His love is trying to prepare a harvest and to show off His bride that will shine as the sun. Folks, when you start shaking everything that can be shaken, everyone that's about money, you know, the prosperity doctrine is going to look pretty foolish. The best life now doctrine is going to look pretty foolish. And all of a sudden, it's going to change people's ears to get hungry for the Scripture again and to find answers. And I believe that God is going to allow these things to happen, because what would it take in America? More money to get people want to go to church? More food? Maybe it's just us, but there is less revival going on in America that I'm aware of than I've seen in 32 years of my living for God. There's a lot of swapping of saints. There's a lot of small churches gone. That's a thing of the past. Everything's mega. So we see mega churches being born, but how many people are being saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? I'm not saying that to be negative. I'm saying this to positively give you this thought process. It's going to take something, because we now are in a generation, and I could get into how the mind works and the subtlety of the lying wonder that's in your living room, the image of the beast, has seared the conscience as Lot vexed his spirit to where we can't even receive anymore when we hear. We're channel surfing while we're in church. 15-second sound bites. Anyway, let me get off that. So that is going to be what I believe will be the first portion of the timeline. Plagues, civil uprising, acts of terrorism, natural disasters. Happening all over the world. All over the world. I was in Turkey. I was in Istanbul. I was in Crete, Egypt, Alexandria. Can't remember. Athens. Barcelona. And gorgeous, beautiful place. I was there during the first election of, for our current president, his first election. I was there again on the second election, 4 years after that. From the first election of our current president until the second election, you could go to those countries, and countries that were gorgeous, beautiful, and clean have had such economic decay that you were almost afraid in the evening to walk the street. I saw that with these eyes. The world overseas is ripe We've got, and America has been isolated and insulated because of some trickery by our government to jack and prop up an economic system that is in the middle of absolute collapse and failure, in my opinion. Now, there may be somebody pop up with an answer, and I hope so, because I want air conditioning and lights, and I love grocery stores, you can tell by looking. So the next thing that we're going to see, now there's a lot of step two in our timeline. We're going to see the preparation that is going on even as we speak is the Battle of Gog and Magog. This is the Arab Muslim nations aided by Russia, and they attack Israel. Now, I made a statement whenever Russia entered into portions of Ukraine. I said, history will go down to tell you this is the beginning of World War III. I know many people probably find that comical, but I stand by that statement. It is the beginning of World War III. And what we are going to see is they are not going to back off. We are not going to challenge them. They are going to continue to do exactly what they want to do. So the next thing is you're going to see the preparation of the Battle of Gog and Magog. We're seeing that now. Now, one of the things we need to see as we look at this timeline is some of these things blend together, like when you mix two paint colors, they'll merge one into another. It's not like perfect lines of demarcation. So this Battle of Gog and Magog, why do we need a man of peace in the Middle East? Well, because we're going to have a war that comes against Israel, and someone's going to have to stop that war. So I set the Battle of Gog and Magog, and I'm just telling you right up front that among scholars, there is a pretty common division line about where people place the Battle of Gog and Magog. I personally believe it's very possible, I'm not saying it's going to, but that it is what will usher in the Antichrist to come forth for the peace process. Now, if that's true, then modern Babylon in our timeline here is destroyed during that battle. And the reason that modern Babylon, who's the greatest nation there is, doesn't go over and keep peace because she doesn't exist anymore in her power. So the 144,000 leave Babylon. We have the rapture of the church. We have Babylon destroyed by a surprise attack. We have the United Nations of Europe and Israel make a military alliance or a peace treaty, which will be negotiated by the man that will later be the Antichrist, who we call the Man of Peace. Then we'll have the two witnesses that Revelation tells us a return to the earth in Israel. This peace accord will be signed on the Day of Atonement. The rapture will happen on the Feast of Trumpets. 7 years later, after the peace accord is signed on the Day of Atonement, Christ will return. We have the temple system will be reinstituted. We have the false Messiah, and they will give him now reign and rule over the Europe. The ten toes will come together and hand him that. This is then about the time of the temple will have been rebuilt during that 3.5 years. Remember, his antics of being the Antichrist only last for 3.5 years, the end of the week. War will be continuing between the EU, between Europe and Israel, with Russia and the Muslim nations. And then we have the middle of the week. The temple will be completed. The abomination of desolation will happen. The temple system outlawed. Those two witnesses will be killed on Passover. They will be resurrected on first fruits. And because of this and the Antichrist declaring war on them and sitting in the temple, many will recognize they've been duped. And during this time, many will accept Messiah. Then the Antichrist will declare that those that are against the system, that cannot accept the one world system, he hunts down anyone that will not let go of the name of Yeshua. He executes them. This is when the Mark of the Beast comes about. And I've said the Mark of the Beast technology. Folks, you won't take it by accident. You will have to make an allegiance to it. And then we see where the nations will be gathered together against the false Messiah, which is the European and Israeli nations. And they will come for that final battle, the Battle of Armageddon. And we see Jesus, Yeshua, and the raptured bride will return from the east on the Mount of Olives and destroy the armies of the enemy. And then, of course, Jesus will set up his world government. So this timeline and who is Babylon that is destroyed in 1 hour is where we will start the next lesson. But I want to close with this. If we have any correct concept at all of this timeline, then do you realize that about out of 16 items I read to you on the timeline, we're only waiting for 2 of them, and they could start tomorrow. So if you're thinking, oh man, the rapture's way down there, there's never been a generation. It's never been a situation. Bible students have never been able to see. The scroll is further unrolled than it's ever been. So if you're someone that believes, as I do, that he's going to take his bride out before, I believe we're going to go through the plagues and situations. Understand what I'm saying, because I believe God's got to do something to see people saved, people's hearts. I mean, let's just face it. If you're not into sports, rock and roll, sex, and TV in America, you just don't fit. And if you're someone that's trying to get back to the Word of God, you're a wacko. I prophesied to this church almost 20 years ago that before the end time that we would see people returning to the Bible, the feast of the Lord. We see now that done all over. I also had this prophecy, and that is that it would be, and I'm putting this on tape because it's time for people to hear it. I also said that it would be, when you look at that which has been, we have the 10 lost tribes, and then we have the two tribes that remained, which were Judah and Levi. And the 10 tribes that were lost, it's not like, you know, they went to Pluto or Jupiter. They were lost because they were assimilated into the world. And this is exactly what my personal vision of what I see happening right now. God's Spirit that brought this wonderful country we live in, He brought us into the Spirit-filled movement. He brought us into the gifts of the Spirit. He gave us all these things to lead and to guide us into all truth, and then we got silly with it. And but there is a remnant that God is calling back, the house of Judah and the house of Levi. And what has been shall be. So what you're seeing right now, if you're in mainline charismatic movement or Pentecostalism or Baptistism or Methodism or Church of Jalapeno, whatever you're into, what you don't realize is there is a worldwide movement of people that are being drawn back to say, we want to know what the Word says. And you're either a part of that or you're not. And what I see is I see the majority, the 10 tribes, are being assimilated back into the things of the world. And the greatest thing Christ warned us of is deception. When we have more reverence for Halloween than we have for the feast of the Lord, something's wrong. And I'm certainly not a legalist. But I know I've suffered ridicule, as many others have, because we're teaching Bible and we're called legalists. And there's no one more liberal than me, because He set me free by His Spirit. But it's not any of the knowledge that saved me. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. So we certainly aren't leaving the cross, and we certainly aren't leaving the Spirit immersion. But we certainly aren't going to follow the silliness that's going on in the name of Jesus that has nothing to do with getting back to the Bible and the truth of the Word. I hope something said here will help you think, and join us in our next week lesson. God bless.